We're in a series called Why Jesus, and we're exploring the question, why Jesus, in a lot of different ways. And I was talking with Hadley this week, and we were trying to come up with a title for this message. By the way, Austin and Hadley in the house today, can we just give it up for them? Love you guys. No, Hadley says no clapping, no celebrations. Hadley, I think you may like the title. I was praying through this, and I don't know if it's allowed. And if it's not allowed, you can email the pastor here and tell him you're not sure this is allowed. But the title of the message today is Get Your Booty to the Water. Okay, so I don't know if that's allowed. You can bleep that out as you write out the title if you need to. But the title is Get Your Booty to the Water. And I want us to look at John chapter 3, starting in verse 22. And maybe you've got the Bible app, or maybe you've got your Bible with you. And if you don't, that's okay. We don't want you to feel left out. We're going to put the verses up on the screen because we believe this church that the Word of God, the Bible, is active and it speaks into your life. And so that's why we want to get into the Bible today. In John 3, verse 22 starts off, "Then Jesus and his disciples left Jerusalem and went into the Judean countryside. And Jesus spent some time with them there, baptizing people. At this time, John the Baptist was baptizing at Aenon near Salim because there was plenty of water." I want you to underline or highlight that. There was plenty of water there. And people kept coming to him for baptism. And this was before John was thrown into prison. And I don't know why, as I was reading through this and was led to these scriptures, but that phrase, there was plenty of water, jumped off the page to me. And I don't really know why. It doesn't seem to be particularly important, but as I read through that, it struck me. And the place where they were kind of getting baptized was in between a lot of big cities and development. It was kind of not near necessarily any big cities. It was, you had to go to it. Okay, it was a little bit like if you lived in Atlanta, but you needed to get to Blairsville or Morganton or Blue Ridge, you were going to have to go a little bit out of your way. It wasn't just right there, but it says people were coming from all over. Why? To get baptized. And why were they coming to Aenon? Because there was plenty of water there. And the first thing I want to talk about is I want to commend you for coming to church today. I really do. You had other things you could have done this morning besides come to church. But if you want to be somewhere where there's plenty of water, one of the best places to go is church. You know what I'm saying? There's some people who they want to see God move, but they didn't get over to Aenon. They didn't get up off their booty and go to where there was plenty of water. They were still sitting in their house going, man, I hope John the Baptist comes by today. It'd be nice while I'm watching the football game if John the Baptist happened to come by. And you know what would be great is if John the Baptist would also bring with him a pool. And he brought plenty of water and he can kind of just come by the front of my house and maybe I could just get out there during halftime, get me dunked, and maybe God will move. And then they can just move along. But I don't know that I got time to get all the way out to where there's plenty of water. And I want to commend you for coming to a place where you're going, God, I want to see you move. I want you to do something in my life today. Won't you please move in my life? And come to church is a great way for that to happen. I want to commend you. And so these people, where they were getting out and moving, maybe they had to change their schedule. They had to move things around. It may have been an inconvenience. It may have been a sacrifice to get out to where there was plenty of water. But here's the second thing I want to ask, are you getting in the water? Because here's the thing, people were coming from all over, but sometimes when God's moving, people show up to watch God move, but not experience God move. It's why you could come to church for 50 years and somebody four seats down the row from you can be in tears during worship and God's doing something in their life, but you could be sitting there four seats over and wondering, man, I hope the Mexican restaurant doesn't have a long line today because Chaboy needs the chips and salsa. I don't have time for my meal. I'm hungry. I need the chips and salsa as soon as we get there, and I'm going to need my sweet tea. And you're wondering about lunch and church ending, but somebody four seats over is experiencing God in a way where they're never going to be the same. And it's why somebody in the same row can have two different experiences. One person got in the water while another person came to watch what was happening in the water. And so I want to ask, I commended you for coming today, but why did you come today? I want to ask, did you come today to watch God do something, or did you come to get in the water today? Years ago, I taught a message, and I talked about how our expectation determines our engagement, and our engagement dictates our encounter. Our expectation determines our engagement, and our engagement dictates our encounter. It's why two different people could show up to church, and one's got an expectation that God's going to move today, and one person's showing up because they just know they're supposed to go to church. And the person who showed up with an expectation, they're going to engage differently in worship. And when you engage differently in worship, you're going to have a different encounter with God than someone who showed up with no expectation, who didn't come to engage at all. They're going to get a different encounter. God is moving. I believe God's sovereign. He's working all across this world. But you could stand at a distance and not ever encounter it because you didn't have an expectation. And here's the thing is, I believe vertical church. I do. I'm not trying to brag, but I believe vertical church for years has been a place where there's plenty of water. Some of you can testify because you've gotten saved here. Some of you can testify because you've gotten baptized here. Some of you have grown spiritually here. You can testify vertical church has been a place where there's plenty of water. But here's the thing. It may not always be that way. You ever been to a place that used to have a river? Used to have water moving, but it doesn't anymore. Why? It dried up. It's one of the reasons where I ask us to pray and sing sometimes, let it rain. It's a metaphorical reminder that if we don't pray for God to continually move, it used to be we talked about what God used to do at Vertical Church. And I don't want that. I don't think you want that, right? You want to see God continually move, but see, if we don't have an expectation every time we open the doors, every time we start streaming out that God can move today, we may become a church that talks about when we used to have plenty of water. And that's not why we're here. We're not here to talk about what God used to do. We're here to believe what God can do today. And we've got to have an expectation every time we come in church today and that God can move today. He can restore something in our hearts. He can renew something in our hearts. He can change something in our hearts. It's why every Sunday at 10 a.m. we get together and pray. You may not have known that, but every Sunday, 10 a.m., we have people and they get up here and they pray at the front of church. Why? Because today we need God to move. Today we need there to be plenty of water, because what used to be isn't going to change lives today. If there used to be water at an inn, that's not going to help people today. If there used to be a water here, you can't go baptize people where there used to be water. But as a church, are we coming with an expectation every time we open the doors, God's moving today? You want to know one of the phrases we say every Sunday morning, our worship team and our team, we get together, we go through our service, make sure we're all on the same page, we pray together. But one of the phrases we always say is, this is the most important Sunday of the year. And we say it every Sunday. And we mean it every Sunday. But you know why we say that? Because if we don't have the expectation that this Sunday, the one Sunday we're experiencing is the most important Sunday, we begin to get a little complacent. We begin to get a little casual. And when you get complacent and casual in your faith, you're going to experience that there used to be plenty of water. But here at Vertical, we don't want that. And here's the thing, we don't want that for other churches. We have over 50 people. I want to say I'm so proud of these people. We have over 50 people who every week are at least fasting and praying once during that week that God's going to move at this church. But not just our church, at all the Bible-believing churches. Because here's the thing. At Vertical, we don't want it to just be where there's plenty of water here, like a selfish thing, like, hey, we're just going to protect our plenty of water here. No, 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 no. We want to see plenty of water at other churches. Why? Have you noticed humanity right now in this world? It's going to take more than one church for humanity to encounter there's plenty of water. We need to see other churches raise up and let it rain at those churches and God move at those churches and see God break out revival in other churches. Vertical, we're not here to just keep it to ourselves. In case you're wondering, Jesus Christ didn't die just for the people at Vertical Church. This is so much bigger than us. We need to see revival across all humanity, and that means we need to work together with other churches. They may not pray for us. I pray they do, but we're going to pray for them. We're going to pray God reigns at other churches, that today God breaks out at other churches, that revival breaks out, and people who went to other churches, they're going to get saved today. Why? Because at those churches, there's plenty of water. There's plenty of water. I want to see something happen in humanity in our days where there's so much water around, people got to start avoiding it. They got to start making plans that day to avoid God moving because it's breaking out everywhere. It's getting harder. It's not just at churches. You go to your workplaces, God's moving. You go to the school systems, God's moving. people got to start figuring out how they can avoid God, avoid what he's trying to draw them back to him. I don't want it something small. We get one shot at this life. I don't want to get to the end of my life if Jesus hasn't come back and go, man, God used to move. There used to be plenty of water. Man, if God doesn't come back, I want to pass something on to the next generations where there's water everywhere. There's plenty of water for the next generations to work with. But people were getting out to Aeneam because there was plenty of water there. I want to ask, what are you doing to get involved? If you want to see God move and you want to get to where there's plenty of water, come to church. I commend you. Great first step. Same thing, are you getting in the Word? The Bible is alive, it's active. You want to get into, you want to do a cannonball into the presence of God, get into the Word daily. I'm convinced, it's why we do a Bible reading plan to get you involved in reading the Bible every year. Some of us, we're about to hit the 6-month mark. We're about to be halfway done with the Bible at the end of June. But man, you want to see God move, get into the Bible daily. And there's going to be some days where it's dry. I'll just go ahead and be honest with you, especially when we get into Leviticus. I'm not going to lie to you. But there's going to be some days where it's rich and it's deep and speaks to your soul in a way that you never expected. I'm always convinced if you commit to reading the Bible daily for a year, you will never walk away at the end of the year and go, I got nothing out of that. There wasn't one day where something spoke to me. You want to get into an area where there's plenty of water, get into a vertical group, get around other people who are seeking God. Man, some people, they went to Aeneam probably in groups saying, we all got to get down there. We got to see God move. We got to be part of it. You're not designed to do life on your own. You may have been following Jesus 50 years and you've never once got around to people who are going to love you, care about you, challenge you, speak into your life maybe when something's not right, encourage you to follow Jesus. You want to get around where there's plenty of water, go with people where God's moving. Maybe you want to see God move. You want to be part of that. I encourage you, join us. Pray and fast. Every time in the announcements, some of you may be where you can tune out because you know, but every week we're telling you we're fasting at least on Fridays. Every Friday you can join in. We're going to fast Friday mornings. We're going to pray. We're going to seek God, and we're going to ask him to move at this church and other churches. And you can join in there. Maybe you want to join in with the over 50 people who are praying and fasting weekly for that to happen here in other churches. Send me an email. Join in. It's not a closed group, but we want to see God move. But without engagement, we just watch what happens in the water rather than getting in. And I want to ask today, are you engaging? Are you seeking? Or have you just kind of come to watch what God's doing? And I'm going to pray, if you just come to watch, you end up in the water at some point. You don't even know how you got there. But God just kind of draws you on in. You kind of keep stepping forward. And before you know it, you're down in the pool. And you're like, I don't know how I got here. But God's doing something in my life. I'm praying it happens. I mean, some of you may be here today. And you're like, man, if you told me 2 years ago I'd be at church and God's doing something in my life, I don't know what I believed you. You know what I'm saying? But God's moving. He's faithful, right? But look what happens just after that. John 3, verse 25, it says a debate broke out. That's never happened between people, ever. A debate broke out between John's disciples and a certain Jew over ceremonial cleansing. So John's disciples came to him and said, Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one you identified as the Messiah, is also baptizing people. And everybody's going to him instead of coming to us. Man. The sting that can happen in humanity when God starts doing something with other people. You ever seen that? God starts doing something maybe at another church, another place, and maybe you get a little jealous, you get a little hurt. Well, why isn't God doing that at my place, my church? I'm a little offended. I'm a little upset. Here's what I would tell you. Celebrate it. You hear God doing something in another church, bless it. Ask for more. Say, God, I hear what you're doing in another church, and I ask for an increase. I ask that you move in an even greater way in that church. I ask that you move in a greater way in what you're doing there and that you draw people to you. I pray that you will bless that, but I also ask that you do it here. I ask that you move here. See, we can't be in a competition if God's moving in other places, we should ask for an increase. If we want to see something change in humanity in this country, it can't be just here. Maybe you went and just voted recently, right? You know early voting was happening? No, you didn't. That's okay. You get a chance to vote soon, but I went out and got early voting done. Got my little sticker to prove it, because people doubt it if you don't get the sticker, right? You got to wear the sticker. No, I voted. Back off. Steady now. Got out and voted. I encourage you to go vote. You know, we talk about being leaders here, right? And what is a leader? It's a person with influence to affect the world around us. I encourage you to research the candidates and go vote. That's important. But I also want us to look at verse 27, John 3, verse 27. And John replied, "No one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. You yourselves know how plainly I told you, I'm not the Messiah. I'm only here to prepare the way for him. It's the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the bridegroom's friend is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. And therefore, I am filled with joy at his success. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less." That phrase stuck out to me, and in case you're wondering, I'm reading out of the NLT version today, which it says things a little bit differently, but it says, "He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less." And depending on how you think about things, you may go, well, does that mean if I don't become less and less that Jesus can't become greater and greater? And I'm here to inform you, Jesus is greater and greater whether we become less and less or not. But what John the Baptist is saying is you and I, each as an individual, have an opportunity. Do we make in our lives, personally, Jesus greater and greater and ourselves less and less? Each of us is tasked with this question before us. Am I making Jesus greater and greater in my life or not? And you may have heard this before, but man, I'll tell you, this is one of the messages preparing it this week. I got so convicted. I started looking at areas in my life and I'm like, I don't know that that's really happening. Like in an intentional way where every area of my life, I'm looking to make Jesus greater and greater and myself less and less. Because here's the thing is, especially if you've been a Christian for a while, you can get into a routine. You can understand kind of what you're supposed to be doing. You start kind of coasting along a little bit. And before you know it, you're maybe not becoming less and less and Jesus not really becoming greater and greater anymore. You're just kind of coasting at where you've been. But John the Baptist says, every day you got, Jesus should be increasing and increasing. He should be becoming greater and greater in your life, and you should be becoming less and less today. Not last year, not 5 years ago, not the day you got saved, but every day should be an increase of Jesus in your life and a decrease of yourself. And so I want to ask, is the way you're living your life making Jesus known in greater and greater ways? Or is the way you live your life making someone else or something greater and greater? Because here's the thing, I look at humanity and I see things that are happening. And I was talking about going out and voting, and I believe you should vote. And if you've been here long enough, this has kind of become my soapbox. I really do believe something's happening in the American church, and this new religion is kind of forming, and it's American politics. And it's really becoming its own religion, where the American Christian church sometimes is making their candidate known in greater and greater ways. But that's not what John the Baptist said, right? John the Baptist ain't down at Plenty of Water and Aeneid going, I need to make Caesar known in greater or greater ways. You know, if you go read those verses, it was before John was thrown in prison. You know why John was thrown in prison? He did make one of the leaders known in greater and greater ways, but he called him out for his sin. He said, Herod, the way you're living your life isn't okay. Doesn't line up with Jesus. Your character is not what Jesus calls us to. And the response was they threw him in prison and actually got him killed. Christians have to look at ourselves in the mirror in this moment in history and go, do I live my life to make Jesus and Jesus alone greater and greater and myself less and less? Now, Jesus did not come and die on the cross to share the throne. And I think we have to look at ourselves and go, as a leader, am I using my influence to affect the world around me? It's why if you ever meet with me, I will tell you, you need to research candidates and you need to vote. It's one of the easiest ways as a Christian to influence the world around us. I really think you should vote. And even if not just for your Christian influence, it's for the people who served in our military who gave you the right to do it. Not every country gets to do that. But I think as a Christian, we should influence the world around us. But here's the thing, it should never come at the expense of using our influence to make someone else greater besides Jesus. And so we have to have a hard look at ourselves. Is the way that I'm living my life making Jesus greater and greater, or anyone or anything else greater and greater? What are you doing right now with your actions? Is your actions making Jesus greater and greater and yourself less and less? What about your words? Are your words making Jesus greater and greater and you less and less? You want to know the time? Is time making Jesus greater and greater, how you spend it? That's what's convicting to me. I can spend my time in a lot of good ways. Maybe you can too. But man, I don't know that I'm spending my time to make Jesus greater and greater and myself less and less. That was so convicting to me. It's something I've struggled with for years as I followed Jesus. Spending my time in a lot of good ways, but I don't know if it's making Jesus greater and greater and myself less and less. What about how you spend your money? Is how you spend your money making Jesus greater and greater and yourself less and less? See, here's the thing is, I think the Bible deeply applies to our life today. I think the Bible deeply applies to our life today. I don't think this was just something John the Baptist said thousands of years ago and it has no calling on our life today. It's, are we making Jesus greater and greater and ourselves less and less? In these areas, our actions, our words, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, is in making Jesus greater and greater and ourselves less and less. Or maybe somewhere along the line have we stopped trying to see if there's plenty of water. Stopped going where God's moving. Stopped really praying and seeking for him to continually move. Have we got complacent? Have we got casual? I want us to look at Romans 12 as well. If you're still in the book of John, it's just a couple chapters over. Romans 12. And I want us to look at verse 1 and 2. Romans 12, this is Paul now writing. And Paul says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be like a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable." This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I want to kind of work backwards through this last verse as we close out. The thing is, as Paul says, there's a good and pleasing and perfect will of God. It's good, it's pleasing, it's perfect. And as I read that, I'm kind of like, I like that. I don't know about you, I would like a good and pleasing and perfect will to be happening in my life. I want to experience that. I think most of us, if we read that, we go, I'd like to experience that. Sign me up. I don't know about the timeshare I'm signing up for. They said a lot of things at the front, and I'm going to sign and get the timeshare, maybe. But the good and pleasing and perfect will, I like that. But how do we actually learn that? Right? Because at the beginning of the verse says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Well, how do we learn that? It's when God transforms us into a new person by how we think. How we think. God transforms us. And I want to ask whether you've been following Jesus 50 years or you don't follow Jesus at all and you're kind of just here curious. Are you letting God transform the way you think? Honestly. Because after you follow Jesus for a while, you may start to think, I understand what the Bible says and I can take it from here. I understand what Jesus is asking me to do, and I can take it from here. I understand the theology enough, I can take it from here. Are we still moldable? Are we still asking God, transform the way I think to be more and more like you? Because here's the thing, there's a lot of people out there that are going to tell you how to think. I don't know if you noticed that. You can go on YouTube, and there's plenty of people who will tell you how to think as a Christian. It's even as a pastor, I would tell you, don't just take my word for it. Read the scripture. Be in the word. Test if what I've said lines up with scripture. Because ultimately, you're not going to be able to point to me and go, well, that's what he said. Jesus is going to hold you accountable. He's going to hold me accountable for how I teach. It's why I try to stay pretty much tethered to the scripture. Because I'm going to have to answer for how I teach and what I preach. I'm going to be held accountable for that. And that's why I think we should teach the word of God. Because one, Hebrews 4 tells us it's alive and active. It's going to pierce to our hearts and our minds. But you should read the scripture. Test what I teach and preach. Because that's what's going to transform how we think. I'm not trying to be sly when I tell us to read the Bible day in and day out, year after year after year. Why? Because if you stay in the word, it's going to transform how you think. It's going to help you understand what God's perfect and pleasing and good will for your life is. But let's go all the way back to the beginning of verse 2. The beginning of verse 2 tells us how we're not going to be able to learn and experience what that good and pleasing and perfect will is. It says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. If you want something that's going to block you from experiencing and learning what God's perfect and pleasing will is, copy the customs and behaviors of this world. Live just like everybody else. Think just like everybody else. Live how the world around you is living. And the Bible says you will have a hard time learning God's perfect will and pleasing will for your life. I think that's why as we evaluate today, am I living how everyone else is living right now? Does my life look a whole lot like everybody else? Do I have the same passions and desires and zealous nature as the world around me? Or is there something different and I'm living for this world? The reason I come after politics so hard is I think it's one of the things the American church is most passionate about right now, which is not a good thing. The good thing is the American church should always be most passionate about Jesus. The New Testament tells us something interesting. It says when you give your life to Jesus, this is what it tells us, you become an alien or foreigner on this earth. Your citizenship changes from any kingdom of this world to becoming a kingdom citizen. You belong to heaven, the kingdom of Jesus. The Lord is now the kingdom you serve. But see, here's the thing. If your passion and zealous nature looks like everybody else who doesn't belong to the kingdom of heaven, that's the problem. Because they don't understand. You're now a citizen somewhere else. Your first allegiance and loyalty does not lie to any kingdom of this earth. It's to the kingdom of heaven, according to the Bible. You can look it up. It's in there in Hebrews, in the letters to, that Peter writes. There's something I said years ago in this phrase, and I mean it. Does the way you live your life leave no doubt that Jesus is of the greatest value? Does the way you live your life leave no doubt that Jesus is of the greatest value? Because here's the thing, if we copy the customs and behaviors of this world and then we try to share the gospel, our life doesn't look any different. But man, when our life looks different and we preach that there's a hope beyond this world to be found, it lines up. It matches up. And see, here's the thing, is verse 1, before verse 2, we talked about verse 2, but it says, be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice looks to make Jesus greater and greater and ourselves less and less. A living sacrifice, man, this is the part that was so convicting to me, is my actions worship worthy? Are my actions living sacrifice worthy? Are my words worship worthy? The way I speak, is it living sacrifice level? The way I live my time, the way I spend my time, is it worship worthy? Is it living sacrifice level? See, here's the thing. If we're not in the scripture, maybe our standards for following Jesus kind of drop and drop and drop because our flesh wants us to rebel against God. But see, when we're in scripture, we see our calling and our standard living sacrifice level. That's so convicting to me. The way I spend my money, is it living sacrifice level? The way I spend my money, is it worship worthy? And Paul, he says, I plead with you. Paul doesn't come and he's like, I just gently suggest this is how to live in Romans. Paul says, I plead with you. Brothers and sisters, if you do anything, live your life as a living sacrifice. John the Baptist comes out and says, I tell you, you need to become less and less for Jesus to become greater and greater. There's not room for both of you. And John the Baptist wouldn't say, you just need to decrease and decrease and think so poorly of yourself. That's not what it is. Becoming less and less and Jesus not becoming greater and greater is not what the calling of Scripture was. The worship team wants to come back up. I want to close out. Who's really transforming your life? What's really transforming your life? Is it any custom or behavior of this world? Or is it the Lord? Is your actions or your words, the way you spend your time, the way you spend your money, is it worship worthy? But to me, even with as challenging as this scripture is, I get excited because there's good news if it's not. If our answer is no, like there's something that needs to change in my life, maybe how I handle my finances or my words or my actions or times, it's not living sacrifice worthy and something needs to change, there's really good news that by the grace of Jesus, that can change in our life today. You could walk in today and you've just completely botched this entire previous week. This week could have been the week that was filled with the most sin in your entire life. The good news of Jesus is he can forgive you. And today you become living sacrifice worthy. You don't have to jump through hoops or anything like that. You can just ask, Jesus, please forgive me. Forgive me that I haven't been living at living sacrifice levels, but I'm sorry for that. And I want you to come and lead my life. I want you to become greater and me to become less and less. And by the grace of Jesus, that happens when we repent. The good news is Jesus does not want you to stay away today. Jesus doesn't want you to stay away today. Jesus wants you to ask him, come and lead my life. But will we change? Will we change? I really do believe that this is our moment in history. This is our moment in history. We can go on copying the customs and behaviors of the world where we feel it's convenient or acceptable. Or this can be the moment in history where people who follow Jesus leave no doubt that he's the greatest value. This can be our moment in history where we get our booty to the water and say, we want God to move. We want him to become greater and greater and we become less and less. And it doesn't matter what's happened in your past. It doesn't matter how much sin is filled in your past. By the grace of Jesus, you can ask for forgiveness and become a living sacrifice today. My past is I was addicted to pornography for years. And by the grace of Jesus today, I can be a living sacrifice. You could have walked in today and your life has been full of an addiction to alcohol or drugs. You know what you can be by the grace of God today? A living sacrifice. You could have absolutely been full of lust or pride or greed your entire life, but by the grace of Jesus and repentance, you know what you can be today? a living sacrifice. The good news about Jesus is it does not matter what has happened in your past. What matters today is, are you looking to submit and give your life to Jesus? Do you want your life to be a living sacrifice? Because Paul pleads with us to live that way. And so as we close out, maybe today you want to come forward and you want to pray. I'll pray with you. I'll root you on. I'll spur you on. Because I lived as a living sacrifice for the ways of this world for years, and it was so empty. I chased all these things that would not fulfill me. And sometimes we're so intimidated to be a living sacrifice for the Lord. It's the best decision that's ever happened in my life. And so, Jesus, we give you this time. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us to respond to anything you're saying or speaking into our life today. If there's anything that's not living sacrifice worthy in our life, Lord, help us remove it. Help us to not copy the customs and behaviors of this world. Help us to be people who go, Jesus, I want you to become greater and greater in my life and for me to become less and less. I want to point people to you, Jesus, so clearly. Please forgive me if anything that's in my life that's not of you. Pour out your love. Pour out your grace. Renew us. Restore us. Let us learn your good and pleasing and perfect will. Jesus, by your love and your mercy, make us into everything that is living sacrifice worthy. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you that while we were still sinners, Jesus, you died for us before we even knew to ask. And I pray that right now your love will just hit our hearts to help us turn from our ways to follow you. And by your grace, let us not try to hold back, but let us step into everything you have for us, Jesus. So, Holy Spirit, we give you this time to move. And Jesus, may you always be what's becoming greater and greater in our life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.